The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." That's the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like the children to come up. Hi, guys. Well, do you know what warm fuzzies are?
No.
Do you know what cold pricklies are? What would you guess a warm fuzzy might be? Have you ever got something nice and warm and fuzzy?
Socks.
You're right. Something nice and soft. How about a cold prickly? How about icicles? Yeah, do you have some of those this morning? Yeah. Well, there's a story about warm fuzzies and cold pricklies. And sometimes we give warm fuzzies to people. Can you think of anything we could give to people that would be like a warm fuzzy?
A hug.
A hug is a good warm fuzzy. How about something else? A sweatshirt could be a warm fuzzy, yeah. How about a cold prickly? An ice cube, yeah, that would be a cold prickly, unless you needed it in a hot drink. Okay. How about something, doing something mean to somebody? That could be a cold prickly, couldn't it? And sometimes we do cold pricklies to people, and when we give them to them, or we say something nasty to people, that's a cold prickly. If you were to decide which one was which one would you have Jesus be?
The warm fuzzy.
He would be the warm fuzzy. And who would be the cold prickly?
The devil.
You're right, the devil. And they were being nice to you, weren't they? They were giving you some warm, fuzzy information that you really needed. Well, today's lessons are all about warm fuzzies and cold prickles. And we'll have to decide which is which. Because sometimes one doesn't always show up. But God loves us enough to give us those warm fuzzies in Jesus himself. So let's say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us those warm fuzzies, the hugs and the hurt that is healed, and all of the good things that you give us each day, our food and our shelter and our care and our families. Bless them, Lord, so that we can bless others. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Well, today, the scriptures are all about trying to figure out what the warm fuzzies are really all about. Because, you see, in the beginning of creation, God gave Adam and Eve, humankind, the most fantastic warm fuzzies anyone could ever hope for. They had everything they ever would need in the garden. But if you know the rest of the story, like most of us do, they turned their backs on the warm fuzzies and turned instead to the cold pricklies and were cast out of the garden. My image is God standing there with those angels as they're Adam and Eve are cast out of the garden with tears running down his cheeks. Because what he wanted for them was the warm fuzzies. He wanted to give them every good gift possible. But they turned their backs and went the other way. Our first love letter comes to us from Jeremiah's book. We heard last time about how Jeremiah was a teenager when God calls him. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you realize his early messages don't sound like warm fuzzies at all. You see, God is trying to answer a question for Jeremiah and for us. What do you do with a kid who won't do what you've told him to do? What do you do? And every parent here knows what that's like. There are times when you instead of loving them, you'd like to strangle them. But what do you do when they keep doing the same thing over and over again? I know one of the members of one of my churches who literally had to change the locks on their doors using tough love and put a restraining order on their son because he kept breaking in to steal whatever he could to buy the drugs that he wanted. Now, what does God do with us? When time after time, it's not just like we humans do one thing wrong one day or one year, but it's generation after generation doing the same thing, turning our backs on God. And in Jeremiah, the word that comes to Jeremiah is, cursed are those who put their trust in mere human flesh or in mere mortal things. Now, it's not like God is literally cursing people, but what he's doing is describing what happens. What happens if you tell a child, don't put your hand on that hot, red-hot stove, and they do it anyway? Ah, they burn, right? What happens if you tell somebody, don't go out on the middle of that lake because that ice is thin, but they go out there anyway? They're going to fall in. What God is trying to tell through Jeremiah is, those who go out and do what I've told them not to do are going to experience the cold pricklies. They're going to experience the curses. But blessed are those who do as God calls them to do. The same message comes out in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Here he's talking about life and death. And he's not talking about just dying. He's talking about a separation between God and his people. Remember that the definition of death in the Bible is that. It's a separation between God and man and his fellow man. When we're separated from others by anger, by hurt, by whatever separates us, we're experiencing death. We're already there. And we could say here, God say, cursed be those who separate themselves from one another, separate themselves from God, separate themselves in any way. And it doesn't mean that he's putting a curse on them. It means they're living it. They're experiencing it for themselves. God has good things in store for us. In the book of Genesis, we hear about this earlier, but in the story about Abraham, God comes to Abraham and he offers a blessing to Abraham. And the blessing is quite simple. I will bless you, Abraham. Now, if it stopped there, we'd say, well, isn't that nice? Abraham got a blessing. But it doesn't stop there. I will bless you, Abraham, in order that you may be a blessing to others. You see what comes out here? We are called upon to bless one another as God has blessed us. One of the inserts is a song. Surprise, surprise. It's called Bless to Bless. As you catch on, just pop right in and sing with me. We are blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. God, our Creator, and God, our Provider, continues to care for us, blesses us every day. Yes, we're blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. Baptized and claimed are we, truly God names us, the children of God, like the Son of the Father above. Yes, we're blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. We live as children of God, we're a covenant people, a people of promise, of promise and hope. We are blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. God, our Creator, and God, our Provider, continues to care for us, blesses us every day. So God blesses Abraham in order that he might be a blessing to the nations. One of the major problems that Israel has throughout its life is that it likes the first part. It likes the fact that God blesses it, that God has chosen them to be the chosen people. Unfortunately, Israel, Judah, like the church even, has the problem of not knowing how to take it the next step and become the blessing for others. It stops somewhere along the line, as if there's some kind of an impediment. When Jesus comes on the scene, he comes, and notice how the crowds come from all over. It's Jerusalem and Judea and Tyre and Sidon. That's a pagan area. So they're all coming from everywhere so that Jesus can touch them and heal them. And Jesus said, blessed are all of you. Blessed are you who are hungry because you're going to be fed. Blessed are you who are thirsty. And blessed are, that whole list of blessings are wonderful. And then he comes up with the woes. And again, the woes are kind of a reminder that we all fit in that category too. There are times when we are full, but there are others who are hungry. There are times when we have a closet full of clothes, but there are people who are out there shivering because they don't have any. You see how God calls us not only to receive his warm fuzzies, but to share those warm fuzzies with everyone else. Because we are blessed in order that we might be blessings also. Pastor was asked to speak at a prison. The day that he was speaking, they put up a platform, and he went up on the platform, and one of the inmates came and introduced him by saying, there were two boys who grew up in the same town. They both went to the same school. They both went to the same Sunday school. And the one decided he didn't need Sunday school, that he knew enough, and he didn't really need God. And he turned his back and went away. One of those boys is here to preach to you. That's the pastor. The other one is an inmate with you who is introducing the pastor. Each of us has an opportunity to be God's people where we are, sharing the good news and the warm fuzzies. Now we can, of course, do what Adam and Eve did, what the people of God have done through all of us. We can turn our backs and go the other way. Cursed be those who set their minds on earthly things. And not because God wants to hurt us or harm us or make us feel bad. Simply because God wants to describe for us what we will do to ourselves